Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello. Yeah. Welcome to New Life. There you are.
Becky. I am here. Yes.
It's the girls' voices.
It's funny because it's just like, let's pray for good technical connections, and we are here. So we being Becky Brown, Dr. Sherry Keffer, and Chris Williams, and we're here to answer your calls today for 2 hours, 1-800-229-3000, and we want you to call in. I know there's so many people that are struggling in their relationships, or even we hear a lot of calls for anxiety because there's just so much that we're worried about, but we can give you some help. Sherry and Chris are amazing people and have helped so many people. So give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. One of the things that they are amazing at is helping couples connect. But, you know, what do you guys think is the thing that keeps couples from experiencing true intimacy in their marriage or true connection? What are some of the blocks or the obstacles?
You know, the one that I see the most is actually vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It's that one or the other partner or both don't know how to be vulnerable. I mean, some of them don't want to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
But in cases where they want to be, they don't know how. They didn't grow up in homes where our feelings were pursued. They didn't grow up, many of them, feeling seen or heard or noticed. So they feel vulnerable. I have a video I show sometimes. It's actually of a lobster shedding its skin. It's like, I don't know, 2 minutes long, but it's in a tank. You can Google lobster shedding skin. But when the lobster sheds its skin, it actually goes into this like hypervigilant fear. It starts bumping on the side of the, you know, tank, and it, because it's jelly. And I think sometimes that's what happens when we feel, when we think about being vulnerable, we feel like jelly, and we're afraid our other person's going to use it to hurt us, or and maybe they will. Right. Yeah. And if they will, then that's not the right person to share with. But I'm just talking about good couples that don't want to go deeper, but really don't know how to bring their heart and their underbelly.
Yes,
it you know, vulnerability begets vulnerability. It right. promotes good deep sharing.
Well, and to that point, Sherry, fear is what I see as the number one blocker. You know, certainly there is this lack of skill or the ability to do it. But if I think for a lot of people, the fear, oftentimes driven by shame, is this negative belief about themselves that the other person finds out, or if the other person thinks negatively of them, then there is rejection, then there is pain or judgment. And so there's these constant blocks inside of them behind a wall of fear that prevent them from showing that. And then, like you said, once they do, and once you feel the safety of that, and it's received well, then it's great. But a video I like to share, especially with the guys I work with, is called The Backwards Bicycle. And if you look it up on YouTube.
I've seen yours.
Yeah. So if you look at a person trying to ride a backwards bicycle, it's that if you turn what you think to the right, it actually turns left. Because so many of the people I work with, to your point, Sherry, say, this feels so unnatural. I said, I know it does. But eventually, it will feel natural, and you'll be better and healthier for it.
Yeah, well, that is the hope that we have for all of our couples, and we want to encourage you, if you want a marriage like that, a relationship like that, you can go to the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. in July, and it's a powerful weekend that can make all the difference in the world for your relationship, which then, of course, impacts your family, your work, all the things. Because if the relationship's struggling, it impacts all different areas of your life. But we hope that you'll make the choice to do something about your marriage this year. And give us a call at 1-800-229-3000, and we'll talk to you after the break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you joined us today and hoping that you'll give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. And by us, it's me, Becky Brown, Sherry Keffer, and Chris Williams. And, you know, just in case you were wondering where Steve was, he will be back. He's going to celebrate his birthday soon, this Saturday, actually. And we wish him a happy birthday. And I know that you all are waiting for him to get back here, and he will be here next week. So we're looking forward to that. But let's go to a call right now. And we are going to talk with Marissa, who's calling us from Los Angeles and listens on KKLA. Hi, Marissa. I'm glad you called. How can we help you today?
Hi. Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
How can we help you?
Hi, everyone. I have a very important question. So how do I forgive, or what are the tools that I can use to forgive people that have sexually abused me in my childhood and my teenage years? There were three different family members in different stages of my life. Mm. And one of them was a woman, and all of them were my relatives.
I'm so sorry.
I told them, but my parents didn't. They didn't stand up for me. Nobody defended me. They just accused me and said it was my fault. All the trauma, they also used to, like, just beat me up so much and verbally abuse me. So I grew up traumatized, and my finances are not good because of the trauma. It's hard to function, and I just keep on picking up the anger and the resentment and the unfairness, and I just want to take myself back and my life back. I want to make something good out of myself and my life. I want to function and just be healthy. And so the question is, how do I process them? How do I let go of the unfairness?
Well, that's a great question, Marissa, and we are so glad that you called. And it's so difficult when all of those things have happened and no one was listening. But I love your spirit of wanting to have your life back. And Chris or Sherry, who wants to start? I think we can help her.
Yeah. First and foremost, Marissa, to echo what Becky said, thank you for calling in. It grieves me of what you went through. Mm-hmm. Just heartbreaking. And especially when it comes from family members, there is an extra added layer of fear and pain and confusion of what happens in the result of sexual abuse. And I think the first thing is you're right there. You're on the right track. You have this great awareness of how these incidences, how this pain is impacting your life and your ability to show up and function. So I'm going to hold off on the forgiveness just for a moment, because the first step is to get into a healing process. That the pain that is there that keeps you stuck first needs to be addressed and worked through. So getting into counseling and a trauma specialist that has trauma tools to help you work through this and gain some, again, healing and relief from the pain and the fear, and then eventually be able to work on the other aspects of letting go, which is going to be a deep grief process. So the first thing is we need to get safe from harmful people. We need to engage in a healing process. We need to grieve. And in the midst of that, we can begin a process of letting go or forgiveness.
That's great. Sherry, how would you offer some help to Marissa?
Yeah. So, hey, Marissa, you know, it's interesting that you are thinking about starting with forgiveness first. And I think it's the thing most of us go to because we think if we can just forgive them that somehow the symptoms, the beliefs, the hurt, the pain, the anger will somehow just magically go away. But that hasn't been my experience. I was just working last night with a sexual abuse survivor. And we're doing something called eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's called EMDR. And I was having to identify what the lie was that she believes because of the sexual abuse that happened to her as well. And do you know what the lie is that she believes? It sounds like this, and you may feel very much the same way. I did something wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
It was my fault.
Yes.
Do you believe? Yeah, I know. It's crazy because it doesn't make sense. Like in your thoughtful right mind, you're like, no, these adults did this to me, and I actually told my parents, and they told me it was my fault. But you know what? Your parents laid in a lie. They didn't believe you. They said it was your fault. And so as we're working on this lie, and the target truth that I'm working to get her to is that I did the best I could to survive. I was just a child. It's not my fault. I was a little kid. And as we're going through, she is getting a new set of eyes to begin to look at herself, not as a responsible party, but as a little child that was used, taken advantage of. And it grieves my heart, like Chris, that your parents didn't believe you. I just want to speak to all of our parents right now. Mm-hmm. If you have a child and your child comes to you and says to you that someone touched them somewhere, that somebody did something that made them feel uncomfortable, please believe them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because why would they make this up as a child? Right. Like, so often they get pushed away because the parent doesn't really want to face the consequences of what would happen if that was true. They don't want to deal with it. And so I would encourage you, Marissa, to do some EMDR.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get your healing, girl. Okay. And then at some point down the road, on the backside of your healing, forgiveness won't be such a chore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think she mentioned, Marissa, you mentioned the book, Take Your Life Back, but I don't know if that would be the best resource for her. Do you guys think so, or do you think of another book that you would think would be a little bit more helpful?
Well, I do think healing as a choice is a great place to start. Yeah. And again, making sure that we can connect her to the therapy and the therapeutic help that she needs. If there's someone in our network in her area that to Sherry's point, is EMDR certified.
I love that idea. And, you know, and just like you said, Sherry, if your child tells you this, believe them and begin the process of helping them. We hear so many times that people have had this experience and then didn't get help. And then they come and see us, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later with those wounds. And there is help that can be had. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Sandy, who's calling us from Denver, Colorado, listens on KRKS. And we're glad you called, Sandy. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, should I accept or tolerate my husband asking young women at work personal questions in order to, in his words, get to know them better, because you have to establish friendship in order to know how to be a better witness to them? And the extra caveat is we work at the same place.
Wow, Sandy, thanks for calling. All right, let's start with Sherry. And Sherry, what would you say that Sandy should expect from him?
So, Sandy, I just, you know, I have a a sign on my wall in my office that I look at. It's not something my clients see. I look at it, and I say, you know, it says, I wish a liar's pants would catch on fire, because then a little bit of smoke, we could see what was going on. Now, this is the deal. God created you with this amazing gift. It's called intuition.
Yes.
And what happens is when your intuition is telling you that your husband is crossing a line, and when you tell him that, he comes back and spins it, and then even puts this spiritual,
mm-hmm.
like, yep. I'm going to share faith with them. He is trying to spin you like a top. So either you're going to trust him and his story, or you're going to trust your gut. And that's the problem, is oftentimes we believe them until then something else big happens down the road.
Hmm.
What he's doing is he's spiritualizing what he's doing, and that is a form of denial. It's a form of minimization. He's not owning what he's doing. And so the very fact, Sandy, precious woman, that you are calling a radio station to ask this question makes me say to you, girl, I want you to trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Look how far you're going to just trust what you think is not okay.
I will tell you that we've only been married just over a year. I went through a very traumatic marriage prior to him of 25 years, all revolving around porn, and the whole, even as far as him forcing my teenage daughter to admit she was the one that was looking at lesbian porn on the computer.
Wow.
I'm not even going into all of it. It's too much. But he knew this prior to us getting married. And when he told me bits and pieces of his past, because, of course, that's the first thing I want to know when I'm first dating someone, what's your issue or thoughts on this process or issue? Subsequently, he told me at 14 he viewed and has had periodic issues, but of course not as deep as anybody else on earth, of course. And I said, well, I'll tell you right now, I will not even ever consider marrying you unless you go to Every Man's Battle. And he did it. We ended up getting married, and immediately 2 weeks later going into counseling because the floor fell from beneath me. It's just been a nightmare, and unfortunately we've moved since then, and I cannot find anyone with credentials in my area, because I have gone through EMDR before we left. So it's a whirlwind of items, and I just keep thinking. One more thing is that the New Life person that I was seeing through the EMDR told me that he's using spiritual abuse by telling me constantly that I need to be a Proverbs 31 woman.
That is definitely spiritual abuse. Because let me just give you a picture of a different type of male witness to women. Okay? It's probably best summed up in St. Francis of Assisi's words, always be preaching the gospel, only use words when necessary. Or what we say today, actions speak louder than words. So bidding connection, and I'm using that term very intentionally, bidding connection with young women at his work is not proclaiming the gospel. It is something very, very different. And so with people like this, we have to pay attention to the communication of their actions far above the communication of their words, because it speaks a deeper truth. And in that, Sandy, we're hearing that pain and the fear and the frustration that you're still carrying, and you need to get safe. You need to continue your work of healing. But I do believe you need really, really strong boundaries and truth with your husband right now.
Well, and you know, the other part of that, too, is he checked the box. You asked him to go to Every Man's Battle. He did it, and he checked the box. There's a lot more work to be done, but, you know, it is so unfortunate, Sandy, because you trusted him. And, you know, and you asked all the right questions. I think if we can get you connected with another therapist that the two of you would work together, and then maybe if he would get into a recovery program, that would be a good start. We're going to send you a copy of Sherry's book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds After Betrayal.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you have joined us, and we're going to continue taking calls, so you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. I mean, it's not every day that you get both Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer, and they can help you with a lot of different things. So give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. Right now, we are going to talk to Sherry, who's calling us from Phoenix, Arizona, and listens on the podcast, and we're glad you called, Sherry. How can we help you today?
Well, thank you. So my question is, I want to know how I can support my 30-year-old son without enabling him in his healing process. And the reason I'm concerned about enabling him is because he is living with me and he does not have a job. So he's had a lot of trauma in his life, and he turned to drugs and alcohol, but he's been sober for 6 years, and in those 6 years, he lived with me for a couple without working. Then he started working, and now recently, probably within the last 3 months, he quit his job. He has just started therapy with a therapist through your network, and that therapist does the EMDR, and he's super excited about that because he sees that this could help him, but he says that he's not connecting with this therapist. So I want to know how EMDR works so that I know, you know, does he find a new one? Then we start the process all over. What can I expect from him as far as, you know, getting out and getting
a job? Sherry, can I jump in and ask a question? Does your son have what I call exceptionalism, and what that is why things don't work for him? Is this like a pattern?
Yeah.
Okay. So what this excuse making is, and I'm a therapist. I really believe that a strong connection, therapeutic connection, is really, really important. But there is also a mentality that can exist in what we call learned helplessness, of exceptionalism, mm-hmm. and that is, I am the exception to every rule that works for everyone else but doesn't work for me. And so we can explain EMDR all day long, but if he's dealing with that it doesn't work for me mentality, then he's in a crisis of belief.
Okay.
And so that is his responsibility.
So is it a male or female therapist?
Female.
And where is his dad?
His dad committed suicide 6 years ago.
Okay.
And that part of his trauma is his dad was a very narcissistic person. He grew up in a very chaotic home, and he got the brunt of the abuse, not physically, but there was just a lot of stuff. And they never had a good relationship, and then he killed himself.
Sorry to hear that.
It's a lot of,
Do you feel guilty about that?
I don't, because in the process, I mean, our marriage was terrible, and I went through a lot of work on myself, and for the 2 years prior to him killing himself, I had changed, and going through a divorce.
You know what I was asking is not if you feel guilty that your husband took his life, but is there a level of guilt over your son being the target of your husband. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Because you know what?
Yeah.
Guilt can be a motivator for enabling.
Yeah.
We think that if we can somehow fix every issue they have, provide for them, pay for them, then somehow we're going to right the wrong. But actually what happens is that enabling guilt creates in them a belief that I'm not capable.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, like Chris said, he may be unconsciously setting himself up to not get the win that is there for him with EMDR. So the first thing I would do would be, because it sounds like he's open with you, like he says, I'm not connecting with my therapist. Without enabling, just suggest that he goes back and tell her that.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell her that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, and he did tell her.
Okay, good.
So,
brave.
I mean, he's being good about that.
Right.
And he said he would go back to her if he cannot find another one.
Okay.
So I'm fairly confident that he's going to continue with this because he was very excited the first time he met with her that, hey, there is something that could work.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, you know, like, how long is he supposed to be?
Well, okay, so guess what?
I'm going to say fear because
enabling says this. Enabling says this. I'm going to try to manage your issue in order to reduce my fear, concern, guilt, or worry.
Yeah.
Or make you happy. So guess what?
Right.
Hi. Right. My name is Sherry. Ha, I'm a Sherry too. I am a codependent. Mm-hmm. I have had to do my work to get out of people's business because of me being triggered by the anxiety of what they're dealing with. The best thing you can tell him is, I am so proud of you. That was really brave that you went back, and I'm sure you're going to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, and we'll be right back after this in just a minute.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were just talking with Sherry, whose son is at home and he's struggling a little bit. And Sherry both had some final words for you, just to get you started in the right direction.
Yeah, I want to just reinforce what you said, Sherry, is that typically in these situations where there is pattern of enabling, our mantra needs to be less is more. I can encourage you, I can be proud of you, and then I have to go manage my own anxiety. I think practically speaking, though, Sherry, what I would encourage you to do is to do the work of, within your capabilities, including your limitations, really get a plan together on how you can help your son and then live within those limitations. Anything outside of that, he needs to figure out on his own. And so if there's a period of time he can stay with you, if there's a little bit of financial help, but what you don't want to do is what Sherry was alluding to, is take on his problems and overcome his problems for him. because then you will be enabling, and ironically, you keep him stuck in his struggles.
So you might think about, instead of wondering about EMDR, Sherry, you might think about doing your own work. And then, because the negative belief that causes that, you know, guilt-induced codependency is, I should have done something. The opposite of that is that I did the best I could. Now, I know in your mind, you might think, well, that makes sense. I did the best I could. But actually, as long as you're codependent and you're behaving that way, that lie is still intact and it's driving your bus. So I say, do some EMDR work yourself. And then two, go to a codependency group. Get into a good old-fashioned CODA group like I did, and it'll change your philosophy about how you live and how you love and how you get in the middle of helping somebody when they're not helping you.
That's good. That's good. Thanks, Sherry. And thanks for calling, Sherry. We're going to send her a copy of Take Your Life Back because I think that that would be helpful as she goes along this journey. I also noticed that Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio there in California. Woo-hoo! How are you, Larry?
How are you doing?
What do you have for us today?
Well, I want to just remind folks about the marriage workshop, number one, coming up in July in D.C. And it's not too soon to sign up. I'm sure there's an early bird sign up coming or announced. I didn't come prepared for that. But think about this workshop, and I want to tell you why. I want to read a testimony. Before coming to this weekend, we were separated. We have three little boys. I was caring for them on my own. He was angry, and I was done. Intimacy did not exist. This weekend's been surprising, to say the least. I realized what I was doing, making him out to be all bad and letting the pain I experienced overwhelm me. I've actually connected with my husband in a way I didn't think was possible. I thought we were done, but after 10 years, we've only just begun. I leave here with a new hope, a way to connect, to actually build intimacy, to hold each other, to have a plan. We had fun and were sexy, and I just didn't expect it.
I love it.
I did too.
So cute.
But it doesn't matter where your marriage is, folks. It could be in a really dismal situation, crisis, or maybe you're just looking for a tune-up because you want to do that once a year. But we can help you. So consider signing up for that workshop, please.
And let me just say this. When we're in a difficult marriage, there's not an area of our life that isn't negatively impacted.
Right.
When we are in a healthy marriage, there isn't an area of our life that isn't positively impacted. This is one of the best investments you can make. Do not procrastinate, because July 8th, if you sign up before then, you save $200.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the Intimacy Intensive, it's July 22nd through the 24th. So it's just coming up.
It's coming quick. It is. And along those lines, the reason we want you to support this ministry is what happens at these workshops on through this radio program, through counselors and other things. But I wanted to talk about the match. You know, it's the people that made the match possible donated over $706,000. And it came at the time that our economy really exploded into problems. You know, gas prices up, the interest rates are up, supply chains are challenges, there's shortages, and people are not giving as much right now as they used to. And we understand that. We know if you're on a fixed income, it's likely you're going to have to cut back your donating. We understand if you're not on a fixed income, you might have to cut back. But I wanted just to appeal to those of you that have the resources, have the assets, have the income, that haven't been as adversely affected, and you can still make a gift. If you make a gift half as much as you used to make, we'll match it, and you will have given the same thing.
That's good. That's really good.
So please consider making a gift. God's got this. We are not in a desperate, panicky situation. We want to avoid getting into that situation. So we're not talking about doing the things that we've had to talk about in years past. We're not going to drop stations and cut staff. That's not where we are. But we would really like to just give God the glory and the honor for seeing us through this, and you can help us with that.
Yeah, and if you give a gift of any amount in June, not only will it be doubled, but we'll send you a copy of Dr. Dave Stoop's book, Making Peace with Your Father. And it is such a great book, especially because so many people have father wounds that go unhealed, and it impacts their life. And so, you know, see, you can have your gift doubled, and you get a book. It's just amazing how helping others find their new life can positively impact you as well. Thanks, Larry, for sharing with us. And I hope if you have not given to New Life, that today will be the day that you give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can text the word MATCH to 28950, or go to newlife.com. Any way that you can give, we will take it and use it for good, and we'll help somebody, and it'll make a difference. So thank you so much, Larry. Amen. We're going to go back to the phones, and we are going to talk to Jeremiah, who's calling us from Colorado Springs, Colorado, listens on KGFT. Hi, Jeremiah. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Thank you. I have a question. My wife, she has severe PTSD from the military, and she's had a childhood trauma with her father taking her life and taking his life and so on, and really bad PTSD, and we have a three-year-old little girl together, and we don't see much of my wife. She gets a retirement from the military, and she believes in her heart that street drugs, and her street drug of choice is meth, and she believes that that's the only thing that makes her well and able to talk and associate without the PTSD and the trauma, and I am kind of at my wit's end with everything. There's been marital infidelity and everything else, and like I said, my three-year-old daughter and I, we don't see her much. She's been in and out of jail, and it's just come to the point to where prayers and everything, I pray. She did go to church with me. It's just my three-year-old daughter and I now, and I'm just looking for a solution, an answer to, and, you know, I know God's the answer to everything, and things happen in His timing, but it's just gotten to the point to where...
Well, Jeremiah, He uses people, too, and so let's hear what Chris or Sherry can help you with in this process. We're really sorry for all you're going through.
Yeah, Jeremiah, again, heartbreaking, and I just feel for you. I especially feel for your daughter, and I know that your heart breaks for that little girl as well. You have a really good understanding of the picture of what your wife is dealing with her history of trauma and then her drug addiction. And here's probably an unpopular truth, and the unpopular truth is this. Is that meth does work for her. Otherwise, she wouldn't do it. And it works in some really profound and powerful ways that create a powerlessness inside of her that compulsively goes back to it over and over again. And part of this, as I want to say for our wider audience and an awareness of this, is that meth is a stimulant, and as a result of that, it also comes with a highly sexualized response to it as well. And so all of that is to escape out. But I think first and foremost, Jeremiah, you need support. You need help. You need understanding. Sherry mentioned to an earlier caller about CODA, and that is Codependence Anonymous. And that helps us understand, how do we manage our lives with an unmanageable addict that surrounds it? And obviously, I think that when you're thinking about solutions for your wife, anything less than inpatient treatment at this point in time would be like anything less than the full-on cancer treatment for someone who had stage 4 cancer.
Jeremiah, you can hear the music. We're going to go to a break, but I think we'll hear from Sherry when we come back. And if you need help, call us 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're going to continue taking calls at 1-800-229-3000. So if something is in your life that you are struggling with, please give us a call because we can help you. Right now we're talking with Jeremiah, and we're going to go to Sherry. And Sherry had a question for Jeremiah.
Yeah, hey, Jeremiah. And, you know, this just truly comes out of my own life experience, having been married to an addict myself. I think one of the things I'm wondering about with you, and this is a normal coping strategy, is when we feel helpless and powerless over that addict that keeps doing the same stuff, and their life is on a crash course to, you know, not good places, we move into something called denial. It's a way that we can believe that somehow it's all going to work out. And I talked early on the show, I don't know if you were listening then, to a woman where I was saying that spiritualization is actually a form of denial. Can be. Because I just kind of don't know what to do, so I say, God, you got to do it. But basically, in the midst of that, I take my hands off the steering wheel, and I just let go of the steering wheel and say, okay, God, you need to drive the car. But that's not how it works, especially with an addict. What,
yes, ma'am.
What steps have you taken? Does that resonate with you? Because, I mean, I was married to an addict, too. Does that make sense?
It resonates. It does, and you know, I've taken every step that could possibly be taken. I have sat there, and I have got her treatment from the VA, counseling, everything else under the sun, and during a court process recently, I tried to get her into 180 Ministries because it was a Christian-based ministry, and her probation officer wouldn't allow her to do it. Because it was a Christian-based
okay,
ministry.
Okay, so I get that.
Coming out of our own pockets.
I get it. But, like, I'm talking a good old-fashioned N.A., Narcotics Anonymous, or A.A. Like, Narcotics Anonymous, is she in a 12-step treatment?
No, she will not. She will not do it.
Okay. Now, does she come home just to have you give her a hug every now and then and take off again?
And she's off. Yes, yeah, she's off again.
Okay, so this is what I want you to do, my friend. I want you, are you seeing a therapist?
I had seen a therapist at one time, and the therapist had asked me to talk to her father, to be honest with you, and asked me how I could remain so strong in this. I told her, God is my source.
And I love that God's your source, but this, if I was sitting in front of you right now, and I wish you lived down the street from me, because I would say, come into my office, my friend. We have some work to do. Because as long as there are no boundaries, and she feels like she can come home for some loving, and then she goes out again on the street and uses meth. Chris is right. It's working for her brain, but you know what it does? I worked with Dr. Amen for 5 years. It's turning her brain into Swiss cheese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is eroding her mind. And so there's some boundaries that need to be set. Maybe even, you're not okay to come home. I don't want you to come home. Do not come home. Until you go to an NA meeting. I want you to go to 5 NA meetings because I'm not going to be here to just hug on you and love on you and send you on your way. That's an enabler.
Yes, I have moved out of our place, and I had got my daughter and I
okay.
an apartment.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Got it. All right.
To stay away from her and not have my daughter around the toxic stuff.
I get
and,
it. That's a protective daddy.
I will let her see the baby once in a while, but I don't ever let her see our daughter unsupervised without me.
That's mm-hmm. good.
It's just, like I said, it's become, I'm kind of helpless here, you know, and that's...
Well,
that's
but you know what, though, Jeremiah? Jeremiah, I think what Sherry's telling you is you're not as helpless as you may think. And I think what happens in this dynamic of a relationship, we do throw our hands up because nothing seems to change. But when nothing seems to change, we have to accept that she's not willing to do what needs to be done for your relationship, and you have to then go forward in your life. And you can, you know, just like Sherry said, you can, you know, expect her to go to treatment or expect her to go to group. But if she's not willing, then you have to do something different. As opposed to what's happening is she's continuing her behavior because she can't help it, literally. She's not well. Yeah. But your child is now being impacted. And so, you know, we're going to get you connected with a therapist that's in your area and maybe connect you with a life recovery group along the way. I'm going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible as well. And we'll be praying for you, Jeremiah, and your family. This is, it's really sad, and we want the best for all of you, and it's just really hard.
And Becky, let's also send him Understanding and Loving a Person with Substance Abuse or Substance Addiction.
Yeah. We are going to send that to you, Jeremiah. And we got time for one more call, and we're going to go to Denny. Thanks for holding on. We've only got a couple minutes, Denny, but I wanted to hear from you. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you, or what would you like to offer today?
Well, you talked to Mike, I think it was yesterday or something, and he's going through with his wife that's being unfaithful with him. And I just wanted to share that I was in that same situation about 42 years ago. Mike worried me in the tone of his voice that he said he was going to stake out his wife's office, and you advised him to have someone that was neutral with him, and I thought that was very good advice. I nearly killed my wife and her lover when I found them, and had it not been for my 2.5-year-old daughter at the time waking up with all the hollering, I'm sure I would have.
I took on the
role of avenger, seeking revenge, but God worked on my heart over a few years, and I finally vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I gave that vengeance up to him, over to him, and then the same thing, also gave forgiveness. They did wind up in divorce, but God is good, and that's, like I said, been over 40 years ago.
Wow.
And
you didn't end up in prison. You didn't end up in jail. You could love your daughter and did the right thing.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. Yeah.
And you didn't end up in prison from resentment either, Denny.
Yeah.
Because you're still offering hope. I love that. I love that. Thanks so much for calling. We're going to send you a copy of The Soul of a Hero, if I can say
that'd
it right.
That'd be a great book for him.
You are a hero, Denny, and I'm so glad. And I think sometimes I said this yesterday, it's like a big, small group. You know, we listen, we hear other people's stories, and we can bear witness to things that we've gone through that are our struggle. If you're holding on hold for the next show, just please keep on holding. We're going to be right back after a break. But I wanted to say thank you to Chris and to Sherry for all of your wisdom, for so many people have been impacted by your just wealth of wisdom, and you've helped so many people. You know, one of the things that we do here at New Life is we want to see transformation, and we've seen transformation, whether it's through one of the workshops, whether it is through one of the books that we, you know, send out, or it could be a daily devotional that you receive in your email. Whatever way it is, we just are so grateful to be in this space because we know people struggle, everybody struggles, and we know that God is able to work through the wisdom of people like Sherry and Chris and Steve and a lot of our co-hosts, that we want to make a difference in your life, and we're grateful for you listening.
Thanks for listening. This program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.